Blog Talk Radio.
Call-in show to get your solutions. I have lots to talk about tonight as we talk about summer. And are you happy? And are you enjoying your summer? Do you have direction in your life? Or are you stuck, confused, and facing life changes and don't know what to do about them or fighting them? Are you shoveling against the tide? Call us. Let us know. Give me a call. Ask me a question. Our number here is 657-383-0732, and the lines are open for the next hour while we talk about life strategies, getting to your end game. Do you have an end game? I ask this question. You've heard me before. You'll hear me again. I ask many people. Most people who call me and talk to me, I ask them what their end game is. Some people answer me with, I don't have an end game. I have a right now game, and I have to play. Or I don't know what my end game is, and I have absolutely no idea on how to find out what that is. Tonight, like every night on Sundays, live between 8 and 9 Eastern Daylight Time or Eastern Standard Time, depending on the time of the year, you can get your solutions to your great life, whatever that means to you or whatever you want it to mean. Give me a call at 657-383-0732. Hopefully this show will have no technical difficulties. My website is www.createneworder.com, which will link you to our podcasts on blogtalkradio.com, and also give you my direct phone number to my office and my email so that you can ask your questions via email by not calling in as well. So use the email. If you're not listening live to this podcast, which we have many listeners around the globe, believe it or not, at different times in different places, like Saudi Arabia and Reykjavik, Iceland, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Niagara Falls, Canada, New York City, San Francisco, Los Angeles, and San Diego. We also have an Austin, Texas listener and Chicago, Illinois. So listening at your leisure, sending us an email at solutions@createneworder.com. We'll get you the email of the week, read up, and to be honest with you, I have been incredibly busy. And what have I been busy with? Of course, work, getting organized, lifestyle strategies, projects that are assigned to me through my clients to get things done, to bring things to completion, to be the closer. I have encountered millions of people over the course of my career, and I'm here to take your calls tonight. So give me a call at 657-383-0732 to ask your questions. If you feel stuck and confused and feel like facing life changes that are happening without your asking for it, and you just don't know what to do, you need a new perspective, maybe an attitude, maybe just another set of eyes to look at the situation and help you make a plan to navigate. That is what it's all about. So tonight, let's talk about what's in my glass. I have alkaline water as usual. That's my choice of water. Speaking of water, I didn't read the whole article, but I did see that there was a news article put out by the chairman of Nestle saying that human beings do not have a fundamental right to water. that outrages so many people, because without water, we will die. There's no question about it. And water, for all intents and purposes, except for, you know, paying your municipality for water that comes out of your faucet, and a lot of people drink tap water, a lot of people do not, believe that they have a right to water. What I think the chairman of Nestle is saying, and I don't necessarily agree with what he's saying, but what I think he's saying is that you should be paying for water, because you don't, as a human being, have a right to water, just as you don't have a right to live on land without either owning it, renting it, or otherwise paying for it. I think our society is set up charging for everything that human beings need as a fundamental need to exist. So our society has developed a monetary value on even the fundamentals of human life. Whether or not you agree with it, I think that's where it's coming from. Like with real estate is charged for. You have to pay for it to live on it. Or, of course, you can be a person of the streets. Either way, there's a price to pay. You don't just get to exist without paying into the societal machine. I think that's what the chairman of Nestle is saying. Like I said, I don't necessarily agree. What I do agree with is that if you are consuming water, which you should be because you're a human being and you need it, it should not be full of chemicals, and it should not be full of things that our body does not need or things that cause our bodies harm. Chlorine and fluoride in our water is not healthy for the human body, which is why I drink alkaline water from a spring. And it's a better option for my body to stay as healthy as possible. And many people, you have heard me talk about being fit and as healthy as possible. Now, of course, I like my Diet Coke. What does that do to the alkaline water situation? I don't know. But I know that it's few and far between in comparison to what it used to be. And I drink much more water now over and above anything else because it's healthier. And I want to stay healthy and fit as long as possible without illness. So I try. So alkaline water is in my glass. And also watermelon flavored seltzer water. You can't get that here in New York. You can get it in Delaware, though, and I picked it up there, and I absolutely positively love the flavor. Now, if you like the raspberry lime that you can get in New York, as well as plain lime, plain lemon, and strawberry, I believe, the watermelon is fantastic. Did you know that you can go into your supermarket and go to the customer service area and request that they order something that you may have gotten in a different state? If they get enough requests for it, then they will order it. So I suggest anytime you're in the supermarket, you go up and you request the same thing. They really don't care if it's the same person requesting it. They're only looking at how many times it is requested. So if you want something and you know it's available elsewhere, ask your supermarket's customer service representatives to put it on the list to order. Because if you want it, and you're interested in it, and there's enough people interested in it, they will order it because it will sell. That's the whole point. If they know something will sell, they'll get it in the market so that they can sell it. Ask at your customer service desk for watermelon flavored seltzer. Down in Delaware, it's Deer Park Water that puts it out, but Deer Park and Poland Spring are basically the same thing. So I'm sure we'll be able to get it here in the tri-state area if you ask. I ask for it every time I go in. Anyway, New York City has had absolutely scorching temperatures this week. It has definitely gone over 100 a couple of times. I remember I was parking my car at some point in the middle of the city, and I was grateful because I found a spot under a tree, and my temperature gauge it read 99 degrees. And I was in the shade. It was perfectly, perfectly scorching this week. I love it. I love hot weather, and I love to be in the hot weather. But I do know this. every single time I played tennis afterwards, every time I rode my bike this week, every time I even took a walk, I was drenched. I immediately began to sweat, which, by the way, is incredibly healthy. Why is it so healthy? It makes us feel bad. A lot of people don't like to sweat. It's really good for our bodies, and it's really good for our minds. It keeps our bodies working, and it keeps our brain working with all of our organs to make sure that they're talking to each other so that they can cool down in super hot temperatures or give the responses to super hot temperatures on how to cool down. It is incredibly good for us to sweat. Every single day, you should be breaking a sweat with some sort of concerted exercise. That leads me into the topic of hobbies. One of the things that I have found out is that a lot of people feel stuck, feel confused, and feel that they can't face life changes because they don't have a hobby. What is it that is stopping you from doing something for you? We often, when we have children, get involved in making sure that our children have activities. We often are not paying attention to the activities that we should be doing for ourselves. And what could that be? I'm not even going to begin to guess what to suggest to somebody as a hobby. But what you could do is, if you had no idea on how to even find something that you're interested in, is start looking at hobbies. So thinking about this and thinking about talking about this tonight, because that's the motivation I would like you to look at this week. Pick one thing that you have never attempted before and learn how to do it. Now, don't do it for 5 minutes and say, well, I don't really like it. Make a commitment to do this for a year. Make a commitment to put your heart and soul into one thing that you have never done before for 1 year. It doesn't matter if you're going to be perfect at it. It doesn't matter if it's going to be something that is going to make you famous. It matters that it is something that you engage in for yourself outside of your relationships, outside of your work, outside of your parenting, outside of your being a, you know, working with your parents, outside of anything else that's going on in your life. This is specifically for you. Again, I can hear so many people just saying, well, I don't know how to go about knowing what I like or what I want to do. Well, we all have Google, or we all have access to Google. Even if we don't have a computer, we can get to the library and we can log on and get a log on and go. Well, do me a favor. Go to Google and type in list of hobbies. Wikipedia will come up number one. And I have to say, there's at least 200 things listed on the list of hobbies. And then there are categories. There are 7 categories: indoor hobbies, outdoor hobbies, collection hobbies, competition hobbies, observation hobbies, references, and external links, which means that there are different places to go. If you just hit references, it will give you a whole new list. Or external links, it will give you a whole new list. So there are things: 3D printing, acting, amateur radio, there's quilting, there's quilling, there's puzzles and pottery, there's drama and drawing and electronics and embroidery, juggling, dancing, writing, yo-yoing, there's ghost hunting, rafting, paintball, Nordic skating, slacklining, snowboarding, soccer, indoors, action figures, book collecting, coin collecting, die-cast toys, stamp collecting, video games, vintage cars, outdoors, antiquities, audiophilia, never heard of that one before, flower collecting and pressing, stone collecting, seashell collecting, outdoors, Morris golf, handball, breakdancing, climbing, table tennis, tour skating, volleyball, and the list goes on and on. There's observation hobbies, indoors and outdoors, fish keeping, learning, microscopy, Then there's outdoor aircraft spotting, traveling, hiking, backpacking, whale watching, satellite watching. It goes on and on. All I did was read off a few from each category. There are so many things that you can be doing in your life. Why do I suggest this? I suggest this because this week I was contacted by a new client who is coming out of a relationship of, I think, about 25 years. Very young, got married, high school sweetheart, and they have 6 children together. And this is the tragedy of it all. But the relationship has complications. There's an addiction factor, and there's a money factor, and there's all sorts of problems there. And the wife, and they're sure that the marriage is over. They're absolutely positive that the marriage is over, and there's no direction for them to move forward together. And the children are suffering, and they are suffering, and she's out, and she's finding that she's happy because she's found a new relationship. She's not divorced yet. She's not even out of the house yet, and they're in a financial bind, so they're sharing the house still until they settle that problem. And she's talking to me, and she says, I just am in such a hurry to get on with my life because I met this really great guy. And she said, I need help. I need help in how do I get there? What do I do? And what do I do to take the next step so that I can get to that place where I know I'm going to be happy? My question was, are you sure you're going to be happy? And she said, of course, because he's a great guy. I'm going to be really happy. I said, okay, so let me ask you a question. What's your end game? And she said to me, well, to find a new relationship and be happy. And I said, well, what does that mean? What exactly does that mean? I said, if that relationship falls apart, how are you going to support yourself and your minor children? And she said, well, I'm having trouble with that. I'm not making a lot of money, and I don't have a lot of prospects, and I only have a certain, you know, level of degree, and my experience is this. So I'm not going to make a lot of money. So I'm just hoping that I'm going to find somebody that, you know, can help support the situation. So I said, so you're going to depend on somebody right off the bat. She got really quiet. And I explained to her that it is in my opinion and my perspective that the best thing that she can do for herself is not be involved in any other relationship and only rely on herself. And she said, oh, that's going to be too hard. I'm never going to be able to make it. And I said, you're making it already. So what's keeping you from making it for a little longer? I also asked her, what is it that she brings to the table in a relationship? I asked her, what about you is interesting? And what about you is solid and confident and strong to bring in a relationship? Well, I'm funny, and, you know, I can cook, and, you know, I understand that, you know, it's important to be a good person and be a good listener. And I said, well, can you have a conversation? She said, yeah, can we talk about work, or we could talk about the kids? I said, what else could you talk about? And then she got quiet again. My point to her was that she needs to spend a little bit of time on herself, and she needs to spend a little bit of time figuring out who she is and what is going to make her happy. Sometimes we don't know when our life changes. Sometimes we're so confused that we just go out and find exactly the same thing that we had in what looks to be a better situation, because it's not the situation we came out of. And most times, that situation is going to be exactly the same as the first one, and it will take time to unravel and get to that point. So my suggestion to her and how to get the solution to clear up her confusion was to be very, very quiet and to only look at herself. This is not a selfish act. This is an act of stability. This is an act of getting solid with yourself and who you are and working on your day-to-day life without any other person giving you any demand except for the minor children in your house and yourself. And what does that mean? It might mean a little bit of crying, and it might need a lot of recovery. And recovery not in the sense of going off and doing a 30-day program. Your body, your mind, your heart, your soul needs to recover from the turmoil you were in. And I'm not saying this is because of outside influences. I'm saying you need to focus on the inside influences that contributed to the turmoil. What part in the turmoil did you have? Now, many people will say, I had no part of it. It's all their fault. Well, if that's the case, and you're not willing to really look and dig deep inside of yourself, then you may never get the answer in your life. You may never understand what it is you need to improve for yourself. So I suggested to her that she cool the relationship with the new guy that looks like he's going to save her, because she's no damsel in distress. She's just a damsel, and she needs to figure out what she wants in her life. And that's going to take time. She needs to sit quietly. She needs to look at her minor children. She needs to be a mom, because they need to come to wherever they need to go. And she needs to get them there. And while she does that, she can Google list of hobbies and anything that's interesting to put your time and attention into that might support you, that might give you more of a sense of yourself through a hobby. It's so important that we get solid with ourselves so that we lose the confusion and we start to see the focus we want to have. Give us a call at 657-383-0732. We have a couple of calls on the line waiting, and I'm going to pick up 337 right now. Hi, this is Jennifer, and you're on the air.
Hi, Jennifer. How are you?
I'm fine. Who am I talking to?
My name's Daniel.
Hi, Daniel. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. I'm enjoying the show. It's making me happy, and it's helping
Good.
Me unwind here before, a busy week ahead, a busy week.
So what do you have coming up in front of you in your week?
Well, and it's the reason I'm calling. I help out my dad. He's a writer, and he got this pretty cool new gig. In October, there's going to be a new Muppet series out. And he's a writer on that, and I've been helping him workshop a lot of the ideas for this upcoming production. So I'm basically a writer's assistant to him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's very cool. I don't know if you'd be interested at all. It's something that we've sort of been doing on Blog Talk here, but also with friends of ours in person. He's just workshopping some ideas for the new series. I'd love if he could come on and just give you some ideas. You seem like a happy, sort of hip person.
Thanks.
His name is Howard, and if you'd be interested, I mean, it's a new version of the show. It's for sort of a hipper crowd, and it'd only take, 90 seconds to shoot off some ideas. I think you'd get a kick out of them.
Sure, I would love it.
Okay, hey, let me put him on. We got a citizen
okay.
here. I can patch him through. Hello?
Hi.
Hi, Jennifer.
That's me. How are you? Is this Howard?
It sure is. I want to thank you for your time, on your radio program here.
Sure.
So I know my son filled you in. Basically, what I'm focusing on the Kermit character. You familiar with him?
Absolutely. I am of the Sesame Street generation.
Oh, fantastic. Were you a fan of the Kermit character?
Oh, absolutely. I grew up with them. You know what? It's funny. People would always talk about the Muppets and talk about Sesame Street, and adults would say they were puppets, and I would take great offense to it because to me they were not puppets. They were real.
Well, that's one of the first things they tell you when you walk in the writer's room over there. So yeah, I think you're the right person for this.
Great.
We're aiming to reach an older crowd. You know, we're still going to have kids watching, of course, but it's for fans, you know, from decades past here. So we're dealing with adults. I got one plot line here. It's ripped out of the headlines where Kermit colludes with the Russians. And basically he goes on a mission to you know, it's basically treason with the United States. I don't know if that perks your interest at all. Kermit and the Russians.
That's funny.
And then we have another one. You like that?
Yeah, it's funny.
Oh, good. And then we have another one here. Kermit, basically, he goes out on a boat. He's with his friend's wife. And they have a tryst, and the woman gets pregnant with Kermit's baby.
That's interesting. Now, how are you going to sell this?
Well, that's the other half of the battle.
Yeah,
right now, what's that?
Yeah, because a lot of us Sesame Street kids, you know, might find that a little risque. So how are you gonna market that?
Well, you know, that's what we got to figure out. We're just getting a vibe. So you think that's a bit risque. That's good to know. Turns out we have a plot line here where turns out Kermit was actually, forget the Russians, Kermit was the guy meeting with Donald Trump Jr., and he was the one sort of giving him secrets about Hillary's campaign. I don't know if that does anything for you.
That's interesting as well.
And then we have another one here. Kermit goes to help out a Make-A-Wish kid, a Make-A-Wish person. And then they get into a fight, and Kermit slaps the kid with, you know, whatever illness he has. Now, how do you feel about that?
You know, this sounds like Sesame Street on South Park.
Okay, that's a good point. That's a good point.
That's a little bit like what it sounds like. It's taking, you know what? It sounds like you're taking a character that really had, you know, Kermit was always doing the right thing, right? So
right.
It, you know, taking Kermit to a level like that might be a little difficult.
You know, in the news right now, there's a lot of talk about OJ. He's going to be released. What if we have a plot line where it turns out Kermit was actually the killer? He was the one that murdered Nicole Brown and also Ron Goldman.
Yeah, like I said, it sounds like a little bit like Sesame Street on South Park. So you know what I'd like to do, Howard? I'd like to take this conversation offline so that we could sort of strategize a little bit differently. I have your number here.
Can I ask you one more real quick, and I will let you go?
Sure.
What if Kermit, you know, he gets into a fight, the late night, there's maybe drinking involved. What if Kermit were to rape Fozzie Bear?
Yeah, I think that's a little offline as well. So I thank you for your call, Howard.
What if he were to give oral at another time
offline, off the air. Thanks for giving us a call, Howard and Daniel. We have Susan on the line. Hi, Susan.
Ooh, that was your world. I'm good. I'm actually busily, I have a couple of things on my mind that you started to talk about, and I'm very frustrated because I can't find the little article that I keep usually in my wallet about just what you were talking about, just the not ready for the relationship, more concentrating on developing oneself and being happy to be with oneself. And then you can, in so many ways, share with others when you've developed these things, these hobbies and interests in yourself.
You know, it's interesting. You know, I'm so glad you called in tonight because I think you and I have talked about this before. And, you know, I know your personal history, right? And the callers don't know your personal history, but you're a very social person. And for you, after losing your husband, I can safely say that without giving away too much information, but after losing your husband, did you find that you had to reinvent yourself as well?
Fortunately, I have been reinventing myself my whole life. So it was a continuation of what I always did anyway.
So you were always
Whereas before it was very entertaining to myself, now it was saving myself. And I'd like to just tell you how this goes on, aside from the usual things that I did, which were, of course, art and music and so on and so forth. But I recently did something interesting, and I took some abuse about it also from people because they looked at me like I was a little crazy. You know, I love the American Songbook, and I listen to all of those great, great songs all the time, especially in my car. And my desire was always to be able to sing. That's the one ability I wasn't given, but I do have good pitch, and I do have musical, you know, background. So I'm forever singing those songs that my husband used to sing while I would play the piano. And being frustrated that there's nobody to sing with me when I play the piano. My cousins, whenever we get together for some, you know, holidays, they always bring their guitars and their ukes.
Okay.
Ukulele. So I don't know if I told you the last time, but when everybody was coming at the last holiday thing, the day before, I went out and I bought myself a ukulele.
You did not.
I did. Now, don't laugh. Everybody
laughs. I always laugh, but that's fantastic.
So now, you know, I can't carry the piano with me wherever I go, but I can carry the ukulele, and I'm now trying to teach myself. So they say, well, how are you going to learn? You work full time. How are you going to find the time for it? Well, Tracy's boyfriend, Bill, found on just what you said. There's a world of information on the internet. It'll show you how to do everything from knitting, which I, you know, love to do, crocheting, whatever, and now playing the ukulele. And it doesn't have to be elaborate, but it's such a kick, you know, that I'm singing along with my uke. Even though people are laughing and looking at me like I'm crazy. But you see, that's great. People are looking at you like you're crazy. Then you know
you're
doing really great.
But you're having fun, right?
Very fun. Very fun.
Okay.
So, I'm, you know, that's my latest thing. But always reinventing, you're so right. Always reinventing and entertaining yourself.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Then when you go out and you have lunch with somebody that you haven't seen for a while and they say, what's new? And you say, oh, well, I just took up the ukulele. Doesn't that change the whole conversation?
Well, first they look at me strangely.
Right.
And then I think they probably are jealous.
You know what? They're probably jealous.
That's fun. That's fun, but I don't have any talent. Well, truthfully, I don't know how to play the ukulele, and it's pretty simple. There's only four strings, and, you know, like everything else, just practice. So
Exactly, which so, I will say.
I just thought that fit in well with what you were talking about, and always reinventing yourself, and you really have to be into yourself before you really can give to anybody else, I believe. You can't depend on anybody else or anything. You have to depend ultimately on you, and then anything else is gravy.
You're absolutely right. Absolutely right. Thanks a lot, Susan, for calling. And hang on the line. If I can get back to you, I want to hear about what you're reading, but we have some other callers waiting. So stay with us and keep reinventing.
Okay.
The ukulele. I absolutely love it. 903, this is Jennifer. How are you tonight?
Hello?
Hello, area code 903. Who am I talking to?
Hi, Jennifer. My name's Mitchell. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you, Mitchell?
I'm okay. Well, I'm not so great. I was compelled. I wanted to call in because, you know,
that guy with the Kermit stuff, he was, I mean, that was a real jerk thing to do. I didn't find that too funny. You know, that was really kind of sore. I didn't like that.
Okay, so let me ask you something. Are you in the same age range as I am? Are you a Kermit kid?
Yeah, you know, I grew up with it, and I gave it to my kids, too. They watched it with me, and you know, that's not something that character would do. I hope that's not so, that they're going to do that, because that's real. It's really offensive.
You know what? I think between you and me with our age group, I don't think it'll fly. Like I said, it sounds like Kermit on South Park, and I just don't think it's going to go.
Don't you think it sounds offensive?
It does. You know what? Kermit was always the genuine, honest, good heart, you know, who was sensitive and cared, you know?
I don't know if you read it, but here's why I'm kind of worried. Because I read a story where the guy who played Kermit for like 25 years, you know, I guess he took over after Jim Henson, he quit.
Right.
And he quit because they wanted to do really like strange things with the character, and he was fighting it, and they wanted to fire him. I think they actually did fire him. I don't know if he quit. I know he put up a protest. So, you know, I mean, how would you feel if you tuned into a show like that and you see a beloved character like Kermit, and he's, you know, he's like getting a guy's wife pregnant? I mean, what?
Yeah. You know what, Mitchell? I think that even just this show and that call is an example of how really off we've become as people. You know, I think we're losing such our own integrity in such strange ways. And, you know, I think that's a really shining example.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like when I was younger, I used to write like, I would write stories like creative, and I sometimes would take like a character like the Muppets and I'd put them in my stories. And I remember I had a story where Kermit had, you know, he fucked Miss Piggy and gave her like herpes, but that was a goof, you know.
How old were you when you wrote it?
I was, I don't know, 16 or something.
Right. Well, I wonder how old they are. So let me ask you.
And then
you
I had another one where like Kermit basically like he was giving women like cod.
This is a strange conversation, ladies and gentlemen. Mitchell, I think we just lost our connection. I'm gonna go to 252 area code. How are you tonight? This is Jennifer.
What if I'm a drugs a chick and like fucks us like Cosby or something?
Oh my God. This is turning into a very strange program. Susan, I'm coming back on with you. Hi, Susan.
Well,
you know, I think a lot of people need
I reacted, by the way, the same way as the past caller to that whole thing. In fact, I was jumping out of my skin listening to that. I just don't want to lose that pure and delicious Kermit and that whole period of time. We need that in our lives. We need not to make everything be so off color, you know. And,
you know, and
we need to have, you know, those memories at least, you know.
Let's take it back.
There are other ways to put his ideas into action, but certainly not through Kermit.
I agree. So let's take it back to if we develop as people, right, when life changes and when we get stuck or we're confused or things are really out of control and we don't know how to grasp it, right, we have
mm-hmm.
a choice. We can go a totally crazy way, like some of these phone calls, or we can focus in on ourselves and what we think is the right thing to do. And you taking up the ukulele, right, or me taking up tennis, which I have to say, I practice a lot. I really get outside and play because I like to go outside. My, you know, the world is my playground. I like to be outside. I like to cycle. I like to go to the tennis court. You know, even just sit on the beach, I like to be outside. But I practice a lot. And recently, the last couple of days that I've gone out and hit the ball, I'm hitting the ball with control. And I haven't,
mm-hmm.
that was the goal. You know, that was always constantly my goal. It took me a year to get to the point to hit the ball with the control. And I was impatient in the beginning, which made me feel very defeated because I wasn't getting there as fast as I thought I should. So the persistence, and I'm going to go into an article in a book in just a minute, but it's a matter of persistence and flexibility, that you need both of those things to keep yourself focused to achieve a result. So you taking up the ukulele, when did you buy the ukulele?
The day before Father's Day, 2 days before Father's Day.
So that's June. Okay, so mid-June. So you've been playing the ukulele for a month.
No, I haven't been playing it for a month. I have picked it up and started to look into, the other thing that's important to do with any new venture is to keep it simple at first. Don't get so complicated that it has to be so detailed. So I'm looking now for a more easily, an easy way to start. So instead of playing it, I'm more reading about it right now. Because don't forget, I don't have a lot of extra time and I have to find those times. And the other thing is that I have to get, of all the things I bought the whole kit and it didn't have a pick. So I need to get the pick. But again, as I said, I'm ready to start, you know, to elaborate on what I've read, you know. I sent away for something, actually it's a birthday present for somebody, but it happens to be a lot of the old songs picked by a famous person, just in case the person that I got this for is listening. I don't want to let them know it's for them. But those songs and the way it's sung are giving me ideas that I can sing along with this CD, which
right.
I play in the car.
Okay, so here's what I want to say. This week I read, and you know, I read so many things, and I read this week that singing, it doesn't matter how competent you are or how great your singing is, but singing is one of the greatest ways to reduce anxiety.
Wow. Well, it makes me very, very happy.
It makes me happy,
and
too.
And you know what else? I'm usually singing when my son is in the car, who is I don't know. Is he considered a millennial or a little bit past that?
Yeah, I think he is. He's a millennial.
So, see, I'm singing to him and I'm showing him and he's listening to every word I say and he's hearing me sing these unbelievable lyrics. Unbelievable. When you listen to the lyrics of these songs, you think that they're all meant for you. You learn
right.
a lot from the lyrics. They cover every mood, happy, sad, contemplative, all those kind of things. And I'm singing them, you know, because I know all these words. Not only I know the words and the intonations, but soon I have to figure out how I will drive the car, sing, and play the ukulele with it at stop signs.
All right. Now I think you're crazy. I'm going to put you on hold. Stick around, Susan. I have another caller. Hold on.
Okay.
516, it's Jennifer. How are you?
I'm good, Jennifer. This is Hugh. How are you tonight?
I'm fine tonight, Hugh. How are you?
I'm just going to give you some advice. I'll give some more off air, but you got punked. Those were trolls. They come on the blog talk show. Some of them are even paid to disrupt things. So until you get a call screener and handle things differently, be careful. And I'm glad you got the numbers. And that's what I wanted to say, because when they're reported, sooner or later, the legal authorities will catch up with them. So, if you want to call me, I can fill you in a little bit more. But I just wanted to come on and say that and pray for these people. That's just the kind of depravity that we're going into more, which we can get out of very easily when we get more spiritual. That's the direction we have to take for a better future. So I'll let you get back to wrap it up. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Hugh.
Hello?
Yes, hi, it's Jennifer.
Hi, Jennifer. I just want to second what the last gentleman just said. You know, I was very offended by the language that was used by some of the people tonight. I don't know if you allow that language on your show, what the rating is, but it, for me, it was, you know, just very offensive.
Right. So who are you and where are you calling from?
My name's Sarah. I'm calling from Jersey.
From where?
New Jersey, North Bergen to be exact.
Okay, so let's say something positive, right? So tell me something positive that's going on in your world or what you need to be positive in your world.
Well, I'm alive. I have a good job.
Good.
It's just, you know, I don't know why people, when they call, you know, they just call in and they say like really filthy things, and I just wish you would address it and you know not allow them to do that because it's very vulgar.
It is vulgar. And you know what? It's something that in this venue, it's difficult to screen. So my next step will be to make sure that my show does not include that kind of thing. So tell me, Sarah.
And you know, to anyone thinking about, you know, using like the Kermit character that way, I mean, that is not the intended purpose of that type of thing at all.
You're absolutely right. So, Sarah, let's get back to the topic of the show while we're here.
Yes.
Do you have a hobby?
A hobby?
Yes.
Well, yeah. Actually, one of the things I do is puppeteering, which I guess is one of the reasons why maybe I was so kind of like offended by what happened earlier because, you know, I puppeteer for all sorts of community groups and you know, local events and also on a national level I've done some puppeteering off Broadway shows as well.
Really?
So that and it's more than a hobby. I mean it is how I make quite a bit of money, you know.
Right. How did that start for you?
Not to bring it back there again, but probably just watching, you know, the Muppets and Sesame Street. No, I had a love for it.
Wow. You know, it's an extraordinary talent to be able to do that. You know, I guess people may not think about it too much, you know, but
right.
You know, to make a puppet come alive in a way, and since the topic of the night seems to be Kermit, you know, Kermit was, you know, that genuine, honest, good-hearted soul, right? And the example set out before us as young children, you know, to make that happen,
right.
Which is really hard for me to even say he was a puppet because I still think of him as a living, you know, breathing being. You know, there's a real talent involved in that. So.
I appreciate you saying that, and I would love if on your radio show, you know, your airwave and your audience, if you could sort of make a plea to anyone thinking about, you know, making an unwholesome version of that character to really think twice, because a lot of kids depend on that character, a lot of kids.
Yeah. I just don't think it will fly. I really don't. It's not something that, you know, I just don't see it happening. And, you know, even in the memory of the beloved Jim Henson, I don't think it'll fly. So, you know, that's my opinion.
I remember we did a show years ago, and we actually, you know, it was sort of an off, you know, production thing. So we sort of got away with this, but we used kind of our own knockoff Kermit character. And we had seen where Kermit took like bath salts, like the drug, and he actually ate off a homeless guy's face, you know, as Kermit. And that was wild back then, back in the 80s.
Wow.
And then we gave him a little Hitler mustache, and he sort of was like marching around the stage, you know, screaming German.
Incredible. Poor Kermit. He's sort of getting a bad reputation on this show. Anyway, I thank you for calling. And
well, one time we had him fist Gonzo, like he stuck his.
Thank you for calling. Restricted, I can't pick up your number because I don't know where you're calling from. And I'm going to get back to what I talked about earlier in the show, that, you know, being stuck and confused and facing life changes where you don't know what to do and when to do them. The power of positive and negative emotions, as published in the book A Beautiful Constraint by Adam Morgan and Mark Barden. It was published by Wiley, and we're in, let's see, Chapter 6, Activating Emotions. And there's not a lot of emotions going on here tonight, and a lot of them related to Kermit, which I think is interesting in drawing the line of an innocent character and a character who was such an example to the wholesome growing up and how to do the right thing as a child and being sensitive and understanding your emotions. I think it's a very interesting line drawn tonight. But the power of positive and negative emotions, I'm just going to read this passage, and with the 7 minutes left in the broadcast, I didn't get to Girl in Town, which I have a quick PSA on Girl in Town. Anyway, in 2010, academics studied two different creativity paths, the flexible path, which uses a broad range of stimuli, such as those suggested in the can, if, start points, and the persistent path, consisting of smaller range of stimuli, but persisting with them. And they saw the most successful problem solvers toggle back and forth between two paths. What the study also explored was the value of different emotions in helping propel people down these paths. Positive emotions such as happiness and elation correlate well with increased cognitive flexibility. Positivity releases neurotransmitters, dopamine and noradrenaline, which increase the flow of information around the brain, networking disparate pieces of information together, and those same moods increase feelings of safety and freedom from problems, which lead us to explore new possibilities more actively. Yet, they also saw that so-called negative emotions have value too. Anger and fear in particular caused participants to knuckle down, do more work, and work through to the end. Other studies conclude that anger can act as a set of blinders, keeping us more focused on reaching the reward. And then there is an anxiety sweet spot where we sufficiently arouse to act, but not paralyzed by fear. This little passage, the positive and negative emotions that have power, the idea is harness their power. Instead of letting them overpower you and stop you from the focus and motivation that you have to get something done, do something else. Use the power of the feeling to propel you to be more flexible, more resilient, and more persistent to reach the goal. And what is the goal? Getting to your end game, discovering your end game. What's the desire inside you? What should you be pursuing in your life to make your life better? This is Jennifer Ryan, and this is blogtalkradio.com. We are Create New Order, and we're here to offer your solutions. Give us a call, 657-383-0732, to ask for those solutions. I don't think we're talking about Kermit the Frog again. And I'm going to go back to Susan because I would love a book recommendation for summer reading. Hi, Susan.
Hi.
Okay. You got a book for us tonight?
Wait one second. I just lost it. Someone just recommended a book to me called I Am Pilgrim.
Oh,
I believe it's
I heard
called.
That book.
I don't know what it's about. She said it was fantastic and I would love it. Now, who knows? I hope it's not, you know, something that's not good, but she's a reader. I'm, you know, of course, finishing my other books that I told you about before, which was the Sheryl Sandberg book.
Right.
The Option B. I think I had mentioned that the last time, right? Which is Sarah, she's the Facebook COO who lost her husband. So it's really quite good. But this one, I Am Pilgrim by Terry Hayes. Let's put it that way.
I've already got it up in front of me. It is a thriller. And it, David Baldacci, the New York Times bestselling author, says that it's simply one of the best suspense novels I've read in a long time.
A big tale
of nonstop suspense.
Great. I feel good now that I passed on some good information.
And this is her debut book. It is her debut. So, you know what? I could really use a good suspense book. So, thank you for bringing that.
Okay, I'm going to go rent it out myself, and then we'll talk about it.
I think that would be a great idea, and maybe we can get Terry Hayes on the show.
Oh, wouldn't that be terrific? That would be good for her.
Exactly. So, you know what? I think you and I need to read that book, and then once we get that finished, why don't we give her a call?
Sounds good to me.
It sounds good to me, too. Anyway, Girl in Town has lots to talk about, but only 2 minutes left in the show. So I'm going to wait until next week. I have a long list of things to recommend to do in the tri-state area, and we're going to talk about flea markets. And the reason I'm going to talk about flea markets is not necessarily for buying, but for selling. And you, Susan, need an avenue.
Yeah.
So you understand it as much as I do, but there's quite a few flea markets in the area that are in full swing for the season. So I'll be talking about them, and I'll be talking about the vacation that I will return from for our next show that I'm leaving for in the morning.
Sounds good. Where are you going? So
that's my suspense. I'm going to leave you in suspense until next week. Are you going on vacation, Susan?
I actually have taken several days off. I've been off for the last couple of days. And I will tell you the next time about my Wednesday trip to the Arboretum, the Bayard Cutting Arboretum, which was unbelievably fascinating.
Well,
I'll tell you about
it
next time.
Exactly. Let's talk about it next time. And Susan, thanks for giving a call. And we'll talk to you again. And go get the book, as I can't wait to talk about it. And maybe Terry Hayes will join as well.
Sounds good.
All right. Have a good night.
Good vacation.
And in our last minute, I just want to remind everybody out there, not only do you need to go and find yourself and spend time on yourself, make yourself interesting, but also look at the life change and start developing a stronger self to combat those challenges in front of you. But you need sleep. I've talked about it before. I'm going to talk about it over and over and over again until you all get sick of hearing it. But our bodies need sleep to repair. So do our minds. Get a good night's sleep tonight, every night, and you will become a stronger, more fit person for your life. This is Jennifer Ryan. This is Blog Talk Radio, and we are Create New Order. Call us between 8 and 9 every Sunday night at 657-383-0732 or write to us at solutions@createneworder.com. Our website is www.createneworder.com. Thank you, bensound.com, for the great music. Have a good night, everybody. Have a good week, and we'll be back next Sunday.